Monday, February 10th, 1986. The preacher is Professor Charles Kniffel. His sermon text comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And his sermon theme? Next comes Lent, a time for what?
Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On the day of Transfiguration, yesterday in commemoration, as Jesus was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became dazzling white. And then on the next day, today in commemoration, when Jesus and his disciples had come down from the mountain, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men." It was on that same next day, today in commemoration, that an argument arose among the disciples of which of them was to be the greatest. Each one of us knows how yesterday we commemorated the transfiguration of our Lord. Today our concern is, how will we commemorate the next day? That is today, the day when sufferings are announced, the day when disciples argue about who is the greatest. How will we keep this day? The epistle for today has suggestions for us. The epistle for today, first of all, suggests that we see that just after transfiguration came suffering, so after the commemoration of transfiguration comes Lent. And the epistle for today recommends that we make use of this time of Lent that is upon us, so that Lent may do its work in us, especially so that Lent may work in us everything that is the opposite of arguing about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So there is a statement for today, and the statement is, next comes Lent. And there is a question for the day, and the question is, Lent, what kind of a time is it? A time for what? If we focus first on the epistle for today, the epistle does its part in signaling the coming of Lent by telling us more about the prediction of suffering that Jesus made, about what it is that he is delivered into the hands of men. St. Paul so poetically, so majestically, so profoundly speaks those words that talk to us about the humiliation and the humility and the obedience unto death of Christ Jesus. They are words so compelling and so telling. Says St. Paul, this Christ Jesus was in the form of God. Yet he did not think that being equal to God was a thing to be grasped, to be held on to, and to be made full use of. But he decided to become a human being, and he did more than condescend to that. But he humbled himself. He put aside, we say, the full and continual use of his divine powers according to his human nature, and he became a human being by being born as a human being. He was a servant. He became obedient, doing before the Father everything that the Father expects from us, and was obedient unto death, even the death of a common criminal on a cross. St. Paul says that he did this to be our Lord. And Dr. Luther has marvelous things to say about this in his explanation of the second article of the Creed, when he teaches us on the basis of Scripture that this victorious one, this lordship, this kingship, is all about him redeeming us lost and condemned creatures, purchasing and winning us from sin, death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and innocent suffering and death, that we might be his own and live under him in his kingdom. And victorious he was. For St. Paul writes, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God which comes to us today and which the church uses to announce, next comes Lent. Next comes Lent, a time for what? The most obvious answer to that, at least to me, is that it is a time for pondering, a time for meditating upon the humiliation and the humility and the obedience unto death of Jesus Christ. But to meditate upon that as pro nobis, as for us, as for what it is all about, that what he did for us men, and for our salvation. He came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. But this pondering, as all Christian pondering, is always with a purpose. And St. Paul sets before us in the epistle a purpose that is powerful, a purpose that goes to the very heart of what it means to be a Christian, a serving Christian, what it means especially to us to be ministers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And St. Paul says it so well. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his interest, but also to the interests of others. St. Paul gets right to the point. In a way, it wasn't just those early disciples who argued about who is great. It was not only St. Peter who denied the Lord and put his own interest before the interest of others, especially our Lord Jesus Christ. It does not take 10 easy lessons for us to learn how to be more interested in ourselves than in other people. It comes all very sinfully natural for us to put ourselves first, to look down on others, to think that we are better than others, and to make use of others for our own purposes. We all know very well, very natively, how to enhance and protect our own turf, and oftentimes we can do it without any verbal argument at all, saying not a word about who is greatest, but simply acting out and acting out of our own arrogance. But St. Paul is so helpful. St. Paul comes to remind us that this is not the mind of Christ. This is not the mind of the Christian. This is not the mind that has been given to us in Christ Jesus as his baptized people. This is certainly not the mind of ministers and of the ministry. If anything, it is actually ministerial mindlessness. But St. Paul is so good. He is good to me and good to you in that he says there is a power. There is a power, my brothers and sisters, that is available to us so that we do not look only to our own interests, but to the interests of others, so that we do not have this ministerial mindlessness. And he says, have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, which you have in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Isn't that great? St. Paul is not simply being didactic, that he is. He's showing us the model of humility and interest in others. He is showing us ministry at its finest and most noble. But at the same time, he's being charismatic. And he is speaking the very gospel of Jesus Christ as the power in our lives that enables us to have more of the mind of Christ that we already have. It is the power that transforms us. If I may say so, and I will, in this way, Christ literally gives us a piece of his mind. Thank God. So the goal is set before us, at least a goal, to become more able and excellent ministers of the New Testament by looking not to our own interests, but to the interests of others. And what a difference this will make in the way we experience life and the way folks about us understand and experience life. But wait a minute. Let's make no mistake. We do not have to wait until tomorrow. We do not have to wait until the next day of Lent. For this too is the next day. This is the day of grace. This is the acceptable time. This is the day of salvation. I know what I want to do and will do. I want to borrow from the paraphrase of my sainted professor, Dr. Martin Franzmann, in his New Testament commentary and say it this way. As surely as Christ encourages you, as surely as the love of God impels you, as surely as you participate in the creative and life-giving power of the Spirit, in short, as surely as God's love and compassion are a reality in your lives, you do not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Well, today is the next day, and then comes Lent. Today and Lent, both wonderful opportunities to get the mind of Christ. It is the mind of ministers. It is the only mind of ministers. And thank God, because of the love of Jesus Christ, you and I are in our right minds to minister. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.